Gus Kattengill.
Coming up this hour, Marlon Favorite at 1:15. Sean Fox will give us the take of North Louisiana over in Fun Row. Let us know how things are going. A little Friday action for you. Hour two, Daniel Salerson at 2:05. Why? NBA schedule release. It's going to come out at 2 o'clock. So Daniel, I don't know. He may know somebody. He may have it in his hands. Maybe even as soon as now, I don't know. Maybe he's not allowed to look at it until 2 o'clock. All I know is this. We are your home for Pelicans basketball. I'm interested. First game of the year. I'm interested in that first road trip, what the season sort of looks like and starts. New head coach. Some growing pains or not. I don't know. You start fast out the gate. We'll see. And then Leo Haggerty is going to join us at 2:30. We'll chime in on the Bucks. Fisticuffs yesterday, Rafael Antonio Brown slugging a Titans player. They're going to be playing. Tampa 1-point favorite against Tennessee. Ravens Panthers, Carolina getting 3 points as the Ravens are favored there. They picked off Lamar Jackson and Ravens QBs 5 times yesterday in the joint practice. J.C. Horn, dude, has like 10. I understand that. But in those practices, J.C. Horn's picking this off, picking that off, picking everything up. Falcons in Miami. Miami a 5-point favorite in the greatest team in the preseason ever as General D joins us in studio.
You tell General D they're 9.5 total season wins, and the money is all on the under.
No, no, no. It's not General D that likes it. Roy.
Oh, Roy.
Super Dolphin fan.
That the money's all on the under.
Dude, I'm telling you. Yesterday, I'm trying to do the elliptical. It's the one that you go sideways on, General D, at the very front on the left. I was on there 15 minutes. I got shown stats. I got shown that Justin Fields and the Bears didn't do anything until the second quarter,
really
it was against their second and third string.
I agree with
that. That they took out all of their stars in the defense. No one's going to score on them. Watch out, Buffalo. I mean, it's 17-0. I'm just telling you.
I made the mistake of telling Roy that my son's a Dolphin fan.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, but he's a Dolphin fan.
I'm a Gloria Stefan fan. Does that make me a Dolphin fan?
I don't know. But anyway, so we'll have some fun with that. 800-998-1003. Jack, thank you for holding on, sir. What do you have for us today?
Happy Friday, gentlemen. How y'all
doing? Friday.
Rafael, I have a question. You said a little while ago you're disappointed about the way things are going in college sports.
Yes.
I got to ask you, what changed? What changed? Look, the money, this is just a little more honest version of what's going on. Now, instead of the money going under the table, now it's going right on top of the table. I mean, there might be, on a good year, 10 teams that are playing for a national championship that have any chance at all. The rest of them are just the Washington Generals. So I don't understand what destroyed it for you.
Because we're talking about college. We're talking about collegiate sports. We have nothing about money. These kids should be going there, getting educated, then working on their pro sports. I mean, college football just damaged college swimming, college golf, college, all the other sports had just been damaged because of college football. So that's what I'm not worried about college football. College football is always going to be there. It's always going to be second best to the NFL. But I'm talking about college sports in general. It just gutted, like, the golfers, the swimming, track and field. It just gutted them, and it just ruined the collegiate, the sport that I used to call collegiate sports when I would go to a games.
So you think they're going to get rid of other sports? That's what you think? That's what they're thinking?
I think a lot of other sports are going to be damaged because of the pandemic, because of the way all these other, the portals.
Well, you saw Stanford last year, right? General League, like, cut some sports. There's some validity to that, Jack, I guess, in terms of where the money is going to go. And then once you start losing these conferences or moving, a lot of it is travel and cost. And again, I've had a sort of behind-the-curtain sort of feel on it by being with Tulane for the last couple of years and traveling for women. Like, for football, look, the budgets are going to be
hit. Start with women's sports.
You know, you charter planes, and those things are not cheap. You're chartering a 737, and then, you know, and all that. But that's football. So, I mean, Bama, they get steak on their planes. Like, we have to bring our lunch. I mean, you know, it's a little different. So, but I'm talking about, like, when it comes to women. My eyes were really open. I became really good friends with the operations person, Lindsay, when I first started with women's basketball, and I mean, you don't think about it until you're actually there.
No one thinks about it.
When you go to like American or United, well, you don't fly Southwest where your bags are free. Well, there's a, it's a 22 travel team party. All right. So you have the players, the coaches, the staff, people like me. It's 22 of us. Well, that's bags. You know, so that eventually got, you know, that's $500-$600 on top of $500-$600 a ticket. I mean, your normal road trip is thousands of dollars. If we chartered like we did because of COVID and things of that nature, we would get like one or two charters a year. And this is where that separation goes, Jack. The SEC, they have so much money. Every SEC women's team charters every game. Men's basketball, they charter every game. That's not what happens at Tulane, right? I mean, men's basketball is on a commercial flight. We might get one or two charters, and those charters are about $77,000 a piece. So, and that's just the plane. That's not the food, the lodging, the hotel, and all that. So, you know, that's why you see all these super conferences. General D, I don't know if you know the report that was out earlier today. It looks like the ACC, the Pac-12, the, what is it, the Pac-12,
Big Ten.
Yeah, Big Ten, as early as next week, are going to come out and say that they're forming an alliance. So this is kind of why we were talking about
I think you have to at this point. I mean, NIL is made it clear that there's going to be haves and have-nots. And even the ones now, when you have you guys that are in high school that are forgoing their senior year because they're going to go and train and because they have some kind of deal with a car dealership or so forth. But back to your point, you know, I've seen it, you know, based upon some of the smaller schools out there, that because of Title IX for women, they were trying to have some level playing field. But then all of a sudden, you start adding the big dollars in there, and with some of these coaches that are getting, you know, insane money, it's very difficult for smaller programs or smaller sports to even get a piece of that pie.
Right.
Even though it's supposed to be somewhat of a profit share, people talk about that, oh, the haves are going to help support these other ones. That's not the case. And obviously, just back to your point, when people are traveling, they're traveling on totally different budgets. They're traveling on the football budget is totally
and
different
it matters.
Than the swimming budget.
I can tell you, and I don't do anything but carry a backpack with my radio gear and then set up and speak the next day. But you do feel more refreshed. It takes something out. I mean, getting to Houston's a 5-hour day sometimes. I mean, you know, it just depends if the flight's late. You got to get on the bus. You got to wait for the bus. I'm just telling you, when you charter, there's a bus, Jack, that waits for you. You get off the plane. You're on the bus. Right. You're at your hotel in 20 minutes. So it is competitive advantages and things of that nature. But I guess that's what Raphael's really getting into here as well. Look, football, you're right, Jack. It's been a chasm already with the have and have nots. It's the ancillary sports that no one's really talking about. Team tennis, golf, volleyball, where people get scholarships or used to. And that might be the difference now where the General D's kid, Carver, that maybe isn't a football player, are there going to be some of that scholarship money for other places if the sports even exist?
I tell people my job, I just don't sit around and watch football all day. I have to watch everything and anything. So when I see it on other ends of college baseball, women's softball, just perfect example, Little League World Series on primetime ESPN. Where was this girls' softball? Right. It was on ESPN Ocho at noon.
Well, to that point, think about LSU baseball. We dominated for a while there, but now there's parity across the whole SEC.
Well, everybody's the SEC pumping, got that money.
They're
exactly
pumping money
right,
into all these stadiums.
Right.
They're seeing it as now a revenue-generating
Absolutely.
Sport opposed to a non-revenue
But what helped,
sport.
Man, and I can speak to it doing a couple of games for Tulane women's basketball. We would, like this year, we're playing Alabama. So every year we'll go to an SEC school, and the difference on what their campuses look like from 5 years ago to now, it's unbelievable. SEC schools look for ways to spend money, like bricking roads. Every street sign's the school colors color at Alabama. Ole Miss looks completely. They can't find enough places to put new LCD screens in their football stadium. There's like 25 of them. Their basketball arena looks like Conseco Fieldhouse in Indy. I mean, it's because they're getting a $32 million check every year. From the TV revenue. So the school didn't have to pay for it. They're getting $32 million and building weight. I mean, Alabama's weight program, their facility where they weight train blows, LSU's blows away the Saints. Like, they have a gorgeous facility when I took the tour when they first opened. And that's before the gargantuan locker room renovation that they have. But I'm talking about like little specific things like team colors, Bengal stripes are in the shapes of the light fixtures and the door handles are tiger tails, like those little things, that's all custom.
Yeah, extra amenities of like a ping pong table in there and a pool table is like, that's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all of that is custom. So, because they're finding ways to spend the money, it's incredible.
Yeah, what's amazing is I played Division III basketball and we traveled up along the East Coast.
Yeah.
And I mean, we were in little buses and, you know, you're sitting there in the vehicle trying to like study under a little pen light opposed to, you know, these other ones can come in the next day.
Yeah,
and they got tutors.
I mean, it is what it is. I get it. It is what it is. Anyway, what you got, Jack, so we can get the break?
Well, no, all I want to say was I hope that they break these universities in the levels, maybe by revenue. Because look, I'll give you an example. I'm a Tulane fan. Tulane probably has their best team since the undefeated team. It may be better than the undefeated team because that team went undefeated in Coosa. If Tulane was playing in Coosa now, they'd go undefeated this year. But here's the thing.
I agree.
They're a 21-point underdog at home against Oklahoma. So I would rather them play in a situation where they actually have a chance to get to a title. But think about this. Think about if you're the Vanderbilts and the Mississippis and the Mississippi States. It's nice that you're taking a check every year, but if you're a fan of one of those schools, you have to know that in your lifetime they're never ever going to play for a title. You're just a spot for Alabama and LSU to get a win. So you know, I just think they need to change things.
Well, Jack,
y'all have a good weekend.
Yeah, Jack,
I appreciate it.
I'm a Tulane graduate, and when I was there back in the 90s, one of the things that was kind of the little hidden secret is that there was a university college within Tulane University. And that was not to say it was a totally different education system, but I could only take two classes in the university college and graduate from Tulane University.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the sports, a lot of the athletes were in the university college. The curriculum was a little bit different, so the standards they could actually bring in those players that might have been some of those blue chip guys that were tough to get into the university. So that's something that's not there now, but they have changed their dynamic for where they're competing, and that's something that I think that Tulane needs to look at, and I think we can all say that things are changing pretty quickly.
No doubt. I love General D's Team USA. That looks like an official polo. I mean, that's like an embroidered swoosh. That's not the screen printed and the embroidered American flag.
See, he had to flex when you pointed out.
Well, trust me, when he works out, it's, you know.
I should point that out.
He's one of at least he's not one of those where, like, I'm done and walks away, and then I'm unstacking 45-pound weights. At a time.
If Jack is still listening, Oklahoma's now 26 and a half.
Oh, it went up
not
five?
Not 21 and a half.
Went up five. Hey, folks, as you can tell.
I'll be in attendance now. I'm going to be in attendance.
Football is here. Do you have the DraftKings app? If you're not familiar with it, it's real simple. It's fantasy sports, right? It's fantasy sports by the day. It's real easy. So you can play a fantasy football game with your money and make more money. Plus, they want to bring you closer to the action right now. And in week one of the season, you're going to have a free shot at $1 million during week one. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, preseason is the perfect time to test your strategy. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap. See your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, more importantly, if you want to work on those daily fantasy skills, do it now. And check out the DraftKings free-to-play pools where there is even more cash up for grabs. So head to the app now, but more importantly, when you download it, use the code LAROSE, LAROSE. And for a limited time, new players get a free shot at $1 million. Use the code LAROSE, download the DraftKings app. Marlon Favre right next on ESPN New Orleans.
Toyota National Sales Event is going on now at Greg LeBlanc. At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Through the end of the month. And they're ready. The deals are red hot.
Red hot.
With loads of fresh new Toyotas arriving daily. Plus, they have over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Greg LeBlanc Toyota is getting top dollar for trades. Remember, the Toyota National Sales Event is going on now till the end of the month. Shop online at GregLeBlancToyota.com. Or at the store. Greg's got the deals.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Mitel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back, and we're here to make your business surge. Mitel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand-washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24-7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at josephsepticatviscom.net.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill, General D, and Rafael Esparza with us here in studio today. Rafael's going to be with us for at least a little way to the top of the hour. Is that good?
Yeah, top of the hour. I got to do some wrestling.
SummerSlam.
You got AEW tonight.
So yes.
Punk's going to be there.
No, I know. We're going to talk about that. We'll do a little bit of that here as well. Yeah. Also, what is this?
Oh.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Oh, is this the guy at Bones Pick? I have to pull him pick
no,
with you?
No,
it's
just,
fave.
Yeah. Oh, General D knows who
this
is.
Yeah, I have a phone.
West Bank, West Side.
Wow. Let's see. Let's see what we got here. It's the new single. Let's see. Well, there it is.
For the radio. Hello. Hello, somebody. Be somebody.
It is.
You never know when you're going to need somebody.
Little message
hello,
there. Huh?
Somebody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm going to move my body. Yeah. You're going to be somebody.
You're going to make a baby today.
I like
hello,
it.
To LA to yell and hello, Faye. Big dog, smooth cat with some mellow ways. In the 10th grade, I used to rock the mellow braids. Private school at the time, they wanted us with fades. Then me dog went to
dude, I love
club.
This. Marlon, man. What's going on, man? Hello, somebody is dropping. What? Hello, somebody. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm feeling good, bro. I hope the 504 got their dance shoes ready. Hello, somebody. Talk to me,
General D in studio legitimately was dancing.
Marlon, today. I was going to be mad at you because you bumped my time on Fridays, but now I had to hear that song, and I'm going to go home and make a baby.
That's right. That's right. Normally, you're 215. Raphael's 115, so he had to come in studio to get in ahead of you here as well. Marlon, man, congrats. That's the second song in this EP, huh?
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, Gus. This thing is called From Balling to Broadcast, the entire EP, and we know that's something I say a million times, so I couldn't let this project go on and not at least put a Hello Somebody joint on that. So, yeah, man, I'm excited.
I'm excited, too, because we got a lot of football to kind of get into and talk about here. We're getting closer to college football, sir, and I mentioned back on Monday the scrimmages and all that action of it. So when you get to this point, you got about another – couple of days, weeks. When do you start turning your attention to the season opener? When does LSU start turning their attention to UCLA? Have they kind of been doing that amongst the time, or right now you're still trying to figure things out? But when in earnest do you go, okay, it's the Bruins?
I think it's the week before for LSU, like that week going into it. And the way that they're doing their practices is like scrimmages, like preseason games. So scrimmage one, like pre-game, preseason game one. Two, three, and so on and so forth to mentally get the guys ready for the regular season. And I think Coach Ed Orgeron starting to do that when he got there has really helped the players not only feel like professionals, but get their mind right and let them know, hey, in these preseason matchups that we're scrimmaging against each other, you have to treat them like games so that way when the real game comes, we'll have those simulations will be more helpful.
Hey, Marlon, this is General D. I know you're a guy that's all about the trenches, and one of the things that I'd like to see or I'd like to get your take on is how is LSU going to be on the offensive line this year? You know, them losing their left tackle probably a couple of weeks ago, seems like a pretty big blow, and I'm not really sure who's going to be stepping into that role. And how do you see the offensive line shaking up? Because I think, if anything, that's probably where we're going to have the biggest issues this year from the offensive end.
Well, what up, General D, baby?
How you doing, man?
I'll start with this with the offensive line. I think the leadership on the line is right where it needs to be. So you got guys like Austin Deculus and Ed Ingram. Spent a little time with them this offseason, just kind of talking through the defensive line position and kind of let them know, like, what defensive linemen think on the next level, because I think both of those guys will do a great job on the next level. And I don't think they'll let the strength of that line dip, right? You got guys like Damian Lewis that had some playing time last year in previous years, and they're looking at to be a force on that line. So just judging from the spring game and what I've been hearing from the scrimmages, the offensive line, it's O-line and the D-line is right where they need to be. So this was an award-winning offensive line, 2 years ago for the national championship. You have two of those guys, well, actually three of those guys off of that squad anchoring this O-line. I think that's an area that LSU is pretty solid at.
Marlon, one of the things that I keep hearing Matt talk about during the week here as well, and it's going to be an issue, and I think you and I have talked about it here as well. We know it's Max Johnson's team. General D just brought up the offensive line. There are going to be talent at a receiver. I know you got Boutte and stuff like that, but the run game, why do I feel like it's, you know, look, you were spoiled if you're a Tiger fan. You had a run of NFL starting running backs or NFL caliber running backs, really good ones, and it just sort of seems like, man, Emery, it's crazy to think he's on his third season there. You know, it's nuts. You would think that it would be a bit different. What are you hearing from your guys there, man, about the backfield and how much confidence do they have or not? Because during the scrimmage, I heard Ed Ogeron say afterwards that they need to do better.
Yeah, that's an area that does need to improve, Gus. And you look at those two guys, right, and there's a youngster in there as well, but you look at John Emery and you look at Ty Davis. Those guys came in on that national championship team. So, and if you remember, y'all remember the headlines going into the season, oh, John Emery's going to come in and start. We're going to see a lot of Ty, you know, and no one was, it was really no mentions for Clyde. And then Clyde really took that opportunity of being the older guy in that running back core with the magic of the offense. And now he's I think he's top five fantasy running back in the NFL. So I think what we were able to do at that position that year was so John Emery touched the ball a lot. He has highlights. You have Ty. Last year was just a dip year. You know, really the first year LSU was kind of looking for that 1,000-yard rusher. And it was just a short year. You know, we played 10 games. I do think, I watch a lot of like YouTube videos and check out different things. And I remember Top Billings doing a breakdown on John Emery, and I know John Emery's cousins and family's brothers, all my people here on the West Bank. Good kid, played at Nicholson Park right here on the West Bank. Of course, top running back coming out of Destrehan. He has the elusiveness that we saw in Clyde. We saw it in him his freshman year. I think those guys just really got to alleviate a lot of that mental pressure and focus on making those big plays. And I do think John is a guy that can have a 1,000-yard season. Todd is a guy that can do the same. We could very well have two, if not 1,000-yard, 700-yard rushers in that backfield, and that'll put that offense right where it needs to be. So that is an area of concern, and that is an area that a lot of folks are looking to step up.
You know, one of the things, Marlon, I think I asked you this, but I don't think the second poll had come out yet totally. AP poll, coaches poll, LSU in the coaches poll 16, AP poll 13. It's kind of, you know, middle of the pack there. But look, considering that you had a season that you had last year, considering that, you know, now Max Johnson's going to be your starter for a bit, you know, question at running back. I think that's not a bad spot to be. And Marlon, I'm not saying it's weak per se, because there's talent. All these schools in the SEC have talent. But General D, I almost feel like, look, there's always Bama. I get there's Bama. But other than Auburn, everybody's starting a new quarterback. That's a bit different, right? I think Ole Miss might have their same one back, but that's it. Like, you know, Bama's quarterback hadn't thrown a pass yet, but I get it's Bama. They're going to be talented. But for the most part, you have a lot of inexperience at quarterback. I think LSU could maybe make that push for the second spot. Am I wrong on that?
No, I think you're right. But one of the things I'm concerned about is Stingley's health. Right. Hadn't he been sitting out a lot here, Marvin? And, I don't understand what's going on. It's been kind of hush. And, I mean, he's been a guy that's been talked about being a Heisman candidate.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned there. And when do you see him getting back on the field, Marlon?
I think he'll be ready by UCLA. You will probably hear him getting some reps in that last scrimmage. I talked to his dad a lot. Coach Stingley coached against me in arena when he was with Pittsburgh and so on and so forth. I think they're just being smart with Derek, right? Making sure he takes care of his body. But I don't. I guess it's cool to see a yellow light, you know, in terms of concern, just because of where we're at going into the season. But I think by September 1, he'll be in full swing for sure.
Is it a soft tissue injury, or is it something a little bit more serious?
They didn't get into any detail with me, you know, just talking to his dad. We didn't even talk about that, to be honest with you. But if it was something like that, my coach, he would have let me know something. So I'm going to go on a limb and say that it is minor.
Okay.
Don't quote me, but I think it's all minor.
Marlon, I'll say this, man, as we wrap up. I'm going to wait till Monday. We'll actually talk about Saints-Jags because it'll be a game day. We get closer on that, the importance of kind of showing up here as well. But, you know, I guess we'll wrap up with this aspect of it. When are we going to be in the song?
Oh, Gus, I'm going to have to, you got to let me know what your BMI is, Cap. I've already put you in there.
I just want to be like the guy just like repeats something that you say. You know what I'm saying? Like you'll be like, hello, somebody, and be like, somebody.
No,
that's all I really need to do.
I think we're devoid of a Pelican song, and I think he should work on the Pelicans intro song.
We do not have a Pels song that we play when we talk Pelicans basketball. So
I think Marlon could hit it.
Marlon, I kind of think that maybe, you know, that could be a way you go into, man. I don't know.
Deli Boy, Tom John, sound like we got to get back in the studio, fellas. So I'm going to put that on the airwaves. Sound like we got to put something else out.
A little New Orleans bounce. I like it.
I put it out there, Gus. So my producers, they had on this
too. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
I really like this song. I do. Who's playing the piano there, by the way? Is that you?
Oh, that's Deli Boy.
Okay. This is real nice. Raphael's starting to sway here. You better watch it.
My wife is listening. Start stretching.
Marlon and Master P collaboration.
I love this song.
She's not listening. You never know when you're
going to need somebody. I like that right there, too. I love how you send a message to kids. You never know when you're going to need somebody. You know, it's about friendship. It's about being there for people. And Marlon, in today's world, that's a great message to have. You never know when you're going to need somebody. Isn't that right, buddy?
That is the truth. And that is why I put it that way, and it's all for everybody, you know, inspiring, and, you know, we got to dance, too. Gus, I will say this, I did do, like, a little night performance, just a kind of, you know, Beyonce mirror dance. Bro, I was soaking wet.
Well, I'll say this, dude, it is very hot outside, so I walk outside right now, and I'm drenched, so I can only imagine performing. You're gonna need a towel. You're gonna need a little towel. Marlon Favreich, go give him a follow. Big Fave 504. Go check this out as well. It's literally called Hello Somebody. So go check that out. It's gonna be dropping on all the streaming platforms here over the weekend. Marlon, we'll talk Monday. Have a good weekend, man.
Hello.
There he goes. Quick break. We come back. Sean Fox on ESPN New Orleans.
Move them arms for me. Chopper style with it. Chopper style with it. Now West Bank, baby, boy, that West Bank calling me. That West Bank, baby, boy, that West Bank calling me. Shake for me.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
People are flipping out over the new Samsung phones, and the hype is deserved. The Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G unfolds into a tablet, and the Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G fits in the palm of your hand. Show off with two screens in one. Snap selfies hands-free. Step into the spotlight wherever you go. Pre-order Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G or Z Flip 3 5G today and get up to $200 in Samsung.com credit. Are you ready? Valid through 8/26 while supplies last at select retailers. See additional terms and conditions at Samsung.com.
Goodyear believes in the power of moving forward. No matter if it's on the track, the court, or the field, movement makes us want to be more. It pushes us to go further, to show the world what we can do. Movement has the unique ability to change our perspective, to challenge us, to work for a better tomorrow. Movement can even bring us together when we're still, because if we're focused on the next move, we don't have to worry about what's behind us. Goodyear, more driven.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I'm only doing this in hopes that I can get out of my commitment at 5 o'clock to be on his show, Sean Fox at Fox 4 Sports Talk. I think you host a show on Sports Talk 97.7. I'm supposed to come on at 5. Could you just record this and just play it? That way I don't have to come on at 5?
How do you do this to me?
What? It's a simple, honest question. You call me at 5 on a Friday,
my
man.
My audience looks forward to hearing from the savior of New Orleans Sports Radio every Friday at 5 o'clock. Why would you want to disappoint them?
So I'm tired by then, man. I'm playing video games.
Tired of what?
I'm pouring a beverage. I mean,
Gus, nobody says you can't pour a beverage to do radio. Lord knows I made a living out of.
Very true. So one of the things we wanted to do this season, General Dean Raphael's, to kind of go around the state and kind of get their sense in view here as well. So, Sean, what was the vibe up in North Louisiana from the Saints' first performance in the preseason?
Gus, I noticed, because I'm a listener occasionally, that you had my buddy Big Fave on. Love Big
mm-hmm.
Fave.
Mm-hmm.
I love his song, too. We got a rap song here, too, for this year. It's called Set Low Expectations and You Won't Be Disappointed.
That's a country song.
That sounds more like a country song. You're right.
Yeah, it is. it's in my mind, it sounds like a rap song, but it definitely sounds more like a country song. It is North Louisiana, after all. Right. And it's how I go through. How I'm going to go through the football season, and pretty much how my wife goes through our marriage. She just sets low expectations, and she's not disappointed. Gus, you know, you kind of got onto me because I may have been into the beverages last Saturday night.
You may have. Wait, hold on. I need a quick pause. I need six seconds.
Okay, got
Raphael, General D, a week ago on his show, he was plastic bags. Not paper bags. He said Saints fans should prepare for plastic bags. Paper allows you to bring... I don't need to explain the difference between plastic and paper. On Saturday night, my man basically said he saw a playoff performance. I'm just letting you know.
Son of a gun.
I'm just. Son of a gun. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Playoffs. Playoffs.
How dare you?
Playoffs.
How dare you? No. Remember what I just said about setting a low expectation?
Mm-hmm.
Gus, my expectations were so low.
Do I need to go pull up your tweets? I'm going to go.
I was like, hold on. Six turnovers and only lost by 3?
There it is. Yeah, there it is.
Not as bad as I was expecting.
All right. Okay.
That's it. I honestly see, like, there is talent on this roster, particularly defensively. It's just we're thinner than, a paper bag. I mean, there's just no depth on this team. Like, the line between 8-9 or 9-8 and really, really bad is razor thin. And I'm going to continue to say that, like, yes, you've got a star at, at every level, but you also got question marks. Okay, you got a great starting cornerback. Well, who's going to go on the other side? Mm-hmm. You got a great linebacker. Who's going to play next to him? Although we saw a ton of potential. You got a great wide receiver. Who is the other one? Mm-hmm. Who's the quarterback? There's talent, but there's also a lot of questions, too.
How did your phone calls go when it came to the quarterbacks?
I think most people are starting to just – it seems like Jameis is a foregone conclusion, particularly now with, as you played last week, Superman, with again, this team being so thin, you need Taysom to play multiple positions. Now, listen, there's always going to be the Jameis hater who – and I get it. Like, his past is his past, and you can't run from your past. There's some people who – I don't want that as my quarterback. So that's always going to blind some people. And you know what? I get it. But I think most reasonable people say if they're going to have any chance this year, Jameis is going to be the dude.
Yeah, this is General D. I mean, I think you're hitting it right on the head. I mean, you got to remember that Taysom is 30 years old right now, and he's trying to become a quarterback. You know,
learning.
Yeah, he's learning to become. Yeah, and you got Jameis, who's 27, who's proven that he can do it. It's all a matter of the turnovers. So I mean, if you're going to be playing from behind, or if you're going to be having to chase points, I think your best chance is to have Jameis back there and open it up and try to give that running game a chance by not having guys sitting in a box for you.
Sean, to give you an idea, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say to kind of give you an idea as well. I mean, I heard Good Morning Football this week say, you know, Ian Book is there. He can go ahead and steal this job. One of the guys on Good Morning Football literally said that based off of what he saw on Saturday. So, look, man, everyone we've talked to this week that goes to practice, there's a theme. And it's they would have thought that somebody would have started to separate themselves by now. And I keep saying I think games are going to really matter. And then when you look at that game, you didn't have the starting tackles. The running backs performed poorly. The receivers are still trying to figure out where you're going.
Everything is base.
Yeah, man. It's just, but it's hard.
Also, but to be fair, like, so to me, like, I'm so worried about this roster being so thin. Like, I saw enough from Marquise Callaway in the first quarter. Like, set him down, put him in bubble wrap. Don't play him again this preseason. But I'm also like, how do you fairly evaluate either or all three quarterbacks with this lineup looking like it does right now? It's not fair to any of them, really.
Yeah,
17-0.
Well, no, I don't think he said 17-0. He definitely feels playoffs. Anyway, what do you want to see? What do
I'm
you want to
lazy.
See
I'm
on
not,
Monday?
I'm not taking meth right now, guys.
what do you want to see on Monday?
Pain, misery. No, I'd like to be able to see somebody separate themselves in this pack. Now, Gus, as a all jokes aside, as a Saints fan, I don't really care who wins the quarterback battle. I'm going to root for them, and I hope they're successful and they're all pro and all that stuff. But I kind of want to see Jameis separate himself because I think the potential is clearly there. I know the history, but I also see I've seen the good side of Jameis too. And I know a lot of people are like, "Where? Well, he made the Pro Bowl, okay? Grand Pro Bowl, maybe not what it used to be. He's broken all kinds of rookie records and passing records, and." Let's be honest here. If Tom Brady was not the starting quarterback at Tampa Bay and decided to go there, Jameis would probably still be the starting quarterback in Tampa Bay. I refuse to say this is a terrible quarterback. I don't believe it. He's made some mistakes, but I think if anybody can accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative, it's Sean Payton. To the point where, and you know it's going to come, like correct me if I'm wrong, that interception that Jameis had, wasn't that at the end of the first half?
It was right after a turnover that the Saints had gotten. And also, as Deuce McAllister said earlier this week on one of the Fox Sports post newscast shows, and I also spoke about it with Deuce Windham earlier today, little Jordan Humphrey's routes could have been better. It would have been able to help Jameis Winston place a ball. And again, that's my issue. That's why I've been saying a potential playoff. You were playing with inexperienced receivers. Even Deuce Windham said, this is a receiver, despite his size, doesn't play outside of his size. It's very, you know, hasn't learned to use his size at 6'4", 2-something. And that's the thing. If he runs closer to the sideline, Jameis has more room to put the ball in considering a safety is coming from the middle of the field. So that's the problem, though, with both of these quarterbacks. You're playing with inexperienced receivers. One, as General D just said, is learning to play the position. The other, which is why I said they should have had an OTA in minicamp, because Taysom Hill this week said that he got with Ty Montgomery. They repped it already once. They'll never mess that route up again, and they'll never mess that coverage. You know when you could have done that? In May. I'm just saying it would have helped.
You're taking me to church, Reverend. I agree with you. There's nothing more I can add. But I mean, look, the obvious I'm looking for. You're looking for that second cornerback to develop over Lattimore. I think we like what we see at the linebacker position, particularly because most of the time you're base defense, you're only playing two linebackers. So all of a sudden you got incredible depth there. Like, I kind of know where we are defensively outside of the cornerback position. Who is going to be? Okay, it looks like when everybody's healthy, you know who your number three wide receiver is, or two temporarily in Callaway. Okay, who's the other guy? Adam Trautman, there's been a lot of hype about him, but I think he's going to be one of those matchup guys where I don't expect a lot of him blocking. But I like what I saw. Juwan Johnson is kind of the receiver tight end where I see a role with him in this offense. But can I ask y'all a question? Is that all right? Can we do that?
I mean, kind of. I mean, you got 2 minutes
I'm here
left.
And you're there. And I know it's been a few days. Is the Kevin White hype real through 2 days?
The who?
Kevin the receiver White. They got who can never.
Yeah, that's my, no. I know. I said that on purpose because I mean, the guy literally comes off the airplane. He doesn't have any gear. They just throw him out there, and he scores a touchdown. Ian Book throws it. The other two throw interceptions and red zone drills. Again, that tells you where they are.
17-0.
I got to ask you this before we run out of time, because General D's wearing a Team USA basketball short. I think it was the greatest summer league performance I've ever seen. I'm pumped. I'm stoked. How do you feel about the Pels? I've called for Trey Murphy to start. I told Willie Green that he needs to start by telling the supposed starters, you got to beat the summer league Pels to earn you're out to be a starter on this team. I'm pumped. I liked what I saw. What did you see?
Gus, leading into Vegas, I thought this was a 17-65 game.
Wow.
After Vegas, I think it's a 65-16 team. Sorry, there's 81 games. I'm asking terrible.
There you go.
Yeah, they're 65-16.
Okay, good.
Well, with the West.
They're great.
Playing out of the
they're
West.
Great.
You know what? All I'm saying is this. It doesn't matter. Rafael told us odds-wise who are the two teams they're playing in finals.
Yeah, we're only playing for third best. Nets and Lakers.
So, I mean, but you know what? I think – no, I'll say this, though. In all honesty, look, I know it's summer league and all this. You know, General D and I, we've been talking about this all week. There's some things that you like, and I think that can translate a little bit. It's about,
the defensive effort being the main one.
Well, and Sean, it leads to this. Zion and B.I. have to buy in on that. If they play defense and they improve their game from that aspect, the Pels are going to go somewhere.
Well, if the Pelicans are going to take the next jump, it has to be because those two guys buy in and take that next step. I 100% agree with you there.
Yeah. Well, I just did your show. Again, can you just record this and play this at 5?
Gus, yes.
I'll send you the MP3. I'll just do it. I can do it in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, you know what? I want to mail in the 5 o'clock hour anyway. That sounds
you should. Exactly. That's the point. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I mean, there's a song called about that. I'll talk to you at 5.
If you feel good about it in your heart, and you look, as I tell my wife, just do what's in your heart. Do what your heart tells.
It doesn't normally go well for you when you say that, right?
I wonder why my bank account
low expectations.
There's a reason I said set low expectations.
There it is. Sean Fox, you're going to have him on each and every week to get the feel of what's going on up there in North Louisiana. Give him a follow on Twitter, @Fox4SportsTalk is the way to follow him on Twitter, SportsTalk977. I think you hosted like with 3 to 6 or something. I don't even know your time.
I don't know. When the air gets thinner up here, Gus. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, might have figured as well. We'll see you next week, sir. I'll talk to you soon. Quick break. We'll check in on the intern. He's only got 3 quick things, and it will go over some of the games, Rafael, for the degenerates out there that are going to be betting on preseason. We'll go through the games over the weekend here as well. Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
If you put a stack of $100 bills and a piece of wood in front of a Formosan termite, what would it eat? Both.
They're swarming here and they're hungry. Call Terminix and local experts Dan and Billy Foster, the Bayou Boys. They can treat your home and save you thousands of dollars in damage. Don't let Formosan termites eat you out of house and home. Call Terminix today.
So call those Bayou Boys. They'll get you Terminix tough.
Are you finally ready to sell that motorcycle or ATV that is just collecting dust in your garage? Harley, Honda, Polaris, Yamaha, or anything like it. RumbleOn.com will pay you cash today. And in minutes, you have a real cash offer. We will pay you cash before we pick it up. No more strangers coming to your house from a listing site. Use promo code RADIO for an extra $300 on your cash offer. Get your cash offer today. RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience, give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
Talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
We are close. We are close, about 12 minutes away until the NBA drops the schedule officially. It'll be tweeted everywhere. It'll be posted everywhere. Daniel Salerson's going to join us at the top of the hour. I know General D has his notes. He's in studio with us. He has his Team USA basketball shirt. I know you're a huge Pels fan as well. We'll be talking about the Pelican schedule that drops at the top of the hour. Rafael Esparza, got a few more minutes with you. We'll do a quick bit of top stories here with Jordan, and then we'll go over the games that are going to be played over the weekend in preseason action. Jordan, what do you have for us, sir?
Hello, guys. Yeah, so I guess starting things off, to start off the reports, Christian Pulisic tested positive for COVID-19, and the U.S. men's national team star is expected to miss the Chelsea trip to Arsenal. That's your first top story.
He scored and a goal last one, week. So, you know,
yes.
They're playing Arsenal, though. I think it's dope.
Okay. All right.
The other one has to do with a local sports reporter over here in New Orleans. Sharif Ishak has been tweeting the birth of his baby. So... Yeah.
Do we have baby Ishak yet? Hello?
That Wi-Fi at school stinks.
Yeah. He may be in the middle of Lake Pontchartrain.
He's fishing.
No, I don't know. You went away.
Can you hear me?
Now I can, but...
Get off the boat.
Do we have a baby Ishak?
No, I have not seen an updated tweet that we have a baby Ishak.
Okay.
But he did ask for some Eagle Rare. He was asking for some bourbon if anyone was in the area.
He did ask for that. I saw Scott Walker brought some Shipley's Donuts to him. This is just basically, he's making it about himself. I can't wait till we get him on again. I mean, his wife's trying to have a kid. Apparently, he's gone on for a while. And it's all about Sharif. That's, you know, congratulations.
You're just mad you didn't think about it.
You know, no. But you know what? He's doing it right. Because after this, when the baby comes out, it will never be about you again. I can assure you of that. Anything else, sir?
Yeah, I know we're going to be transitioning into NBA talks next hour. So the Boston Celtics for your NBA news and Robert Williams have agreed to a four-year, $54 million extension. So that is a little bit of NBA news for you.
All right. That's awesome. Do you want to come back again at 2:45 or are you going to go study?
Fishing. it's up to you guys. I mean,
it's up to me.
Might be.
You know what? Don't worry about it. Is he done fishing? I tell you what. I'll leave it up to Rafael and General D. Rafael, is he done for the day?
It's up to them.
He's been done since we hit him on the air.
General D.
Absolutely, he's done.
Should we cut him loose?
He's got no Wi-Fi.
I still got to upload the show.
Jordan, go enjoy the rest of your Friday.
He's preoccupied with the co-eds.
There is.
All right, see you guys.
He did not deny it. There he goes, Jordan the intern. Started school. We're going to try to bring him in as much as we can, but
line up.
Look, it's his final year. He needs to get out of college so we can have him all the time. Let's do this quickly. You want to do this, Rafael?
Sure.
All right. Okay. So we touched on some of the teams already that we'll be seeing, over the weekend. And let's see. Let's start with. I'm going to pull it up here eventually. There we go. Chiefs and Cardinals. I know we went over earlier, but it's KC 3.5. Who you like and why?
Probably Arizona plus the points. They're at home. They're still battling for second and third QB spots. So I think teams, the money's coming in on everybody that has quarterback and offensive positions still available.
All right. General D?
Yeah, I would have to go the same.
All right. Easy enough. Bengals in Washington. Chase Young. Does he get a sack before he gets pulled out of the game?
No.
No.
No. I think he's only in for one series.
One series?
Oh, if he's only in for one series, no. But if he's in any more extended playing,
they're 5.5-point favorites. I don't think we're going to see Joe Burrow, right, in the preseason?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's what I figured. All right. Bills and Bears tomorrow. Justin Fields, he's not doing well, so he's injured. Andy Dalton said it's my time, by the way.
Yeah, this one had probably one of the biggest line moves. Opened up, Bears won 1.5, up to 4.5. Because Justin Fields and the Bears, 17-0, they're still filming the next Super Bowl shuffle.
Wow.
What we saw in preseason week one. So give me the Bears, 17-0.
Bills or Bears?
Well, I mean, you got the red rifle, but I'm going to go with the Bills.
That was the red rocket. Is it a red rifle?
No, it's a rifle.
Yeah,
rifle.
Anybody that says it's my time, have fun with that. Jets and Packers, Jordan Love, this was the season for Jordan Love, right? We had to see him in preseason. He goes and gets a shoulder injury, has an MRI, it's negative. But the way LaFleur looked on Monday when he was being asked about it, I'm starting to get the sense that Jordan Love's probably going to want to, it's going to be like a Trubisky. He's probably going to want to go somewhere and just kind of start fresh.
I wouldn't blame him, and this is probably another one that the Packer fans see that who's going to be the quarterback for this game. It's not Rodgers. It's not Love. So all the money came in the Jets, even though they're at Lambeau.
Yeah, I'd go Jets as well. I mean,
Falcons at 3 points in preseason game number one. They're facing the Miami Dolphins, the greatest team of all time, per Roy at the gym. They're 5-point favorite. Does Atlanta score?
0-20. There's 3 preseason games, 17, and Falcons lose.
Falcons 0-20. Wow. I just want to know if they score. If they don't score, you know we'll never hear the end of it.
The Falcons will score, but okay. I mean, they're, you know.
I just want it to be against Xavier Howard, though.
I don't know about that.
Well, Roy just, I mean, he will find old highlights of Xavier
Howard. I do have to say fin up, you know what I mean?
You going
to
fin up?
I'm going to fin up.
Yeah. You're going to fin up. Ravens and Panthers, Baltimore, 3.5-point favorites. I mentioned Carolina had 5 interceptions against Baltimore in a joint practice yesterday. How important is it for Sam Darnold to kind of start looking good?
It doesn't matter. The Ravens in preseason just win games and cover games. It does not matter. Baltimore by 100.
Okay.
I want the Ravens backup kicker. Can we sign him?
That is true.
That would be.
Do the Saints even have it? Have they signed a kicker yet? I'm being serious.
I think we had a guy in camp, but if we do anything like we did last time, we had Lutz, who we signed off of Baltimore's team.
I legitimately don't know if we have a kicker.
Baltimore winner. Okay. Again, what was it, 19-0 in preseason,
The machine is rolling. Go with it.
Well, either way. Let's see. Next up, next game. Let's go with Lions and Steelers. I love Najee Harris. Pittsburgh's 6.5-point favorite against Dan Campbell's
I can't Lions. Take any preseason team 6.5-point favorites. Give me, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Give me the Lions.
Bite a kneecap, baby.
Yeah, okay.
Bite the kneecap.
Titans and Bucks, there were fisticuffs at the joint practice yesterday. Tampa just a 1-point favorite here, Rafael. What do I do?
It's Tampa. You don't bet against Tom Brady. Even though you know he's not going to play, he's going to be on the field. His presence alone gives me a W. Stadium, okay.
I'm going against him. Okay. I mean, because they had the fights at camp. I think there might be a little turmoil there because I'm hoping for something more than there is. But.
What's going to happen with Deshaun Watson? It's Texans at the Cowboys.
He's not going to play a game at all this year. Yeah, doesn't matter what team. Him and Buehler from the Dodgers will not play a game.
Could
ever
you have
this
mishandled
year.
This any better, any worse, rather, than the Texans have?
No. I mean, it's obvious that you can't put him out there because you're going to have a backlash. And if you try to trade him, nobody wants him right now. So he's in limbo until he gets this resolved, and I'm sure it's going to get resolved.
Dallas is a 3.5-point favorite. Mike McCarthy said, don't expect Dak to play. I wouldn't expect him either, so what am I doing here?
Dallas.
How about them Cowboys?
Dude, Clint Sterner, a friend of mine, on Arkansas Game Day, he has his own talk show in Houston. Oh, my gosh, the things he says about the Texans are not nice. I mean, they're not a very well-coached team now as well. No. They got a brand-new coach. No. Colts and Vikings, Minnesota, 2-point favorite.
I'll take the road team.
I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Right, Raiders, Rams, Las Vegas, 6.5-point favorite.
I can't take the Raiders. Give me the Rams. I don't care.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can't give you the six. No.
All right, Broncos and Seahawks, a quarterback battle in Denver. Denver, a 5-point favorite on the road.
The total's 38. Yeah. No, these games go over. Give me the under, but Denver quarterbacks. Both of them are going to play, and both are going to have big games.
I have to agree.
Two games on Sunday, Giants and Browns, Cleveland, 5.5-point favorites.
It's another big number, man.
Yeah, another big number. I'm going to take the Giants. Give me the G-Men.
49ers, Chargers, San Francisco, 5.5-point favorites.
Again, another big number. Give me this is preseason, people. If you're betting preseason, call the 1-800 number because you're blowing your wife's money that she gave you for all football season.
But this is why we're here. This
I got
is
some
why we're
friends that are probably betting.
Exactly.
They're listening right
that's
now.
That's what I'm saying. All of this matters, and I will wait for Jaguars and Saints because you never know. It's a 4-point favorite right now for the Saints. And if they get a kicker, it might be a 5-point favorite. So I don't know.
We don't know who's going to be hurt between now and then.
18-1.
That is very true. There was a night practice today. Rafael SummerSlam. What should I expect and pay attention to on Sunday?
It's a big weekend. I mean, you have NXT on Sunday. Saturday, SummerSlam. Not Sunday, so it's Saturday.
Oh, it's Saturday?
Saturday. So I think you're going to see some titles. Okay. Probably. Stay focused. I don't see John Cena winning. He's just here to promote the movies.
Right.
Roman Reigns will probably win. I think AEW and
I was
going to
get
NXT,
into that tonight.
I think it's going
to
be more interesting.
AEW, we're
weekend.
Supposed to see CM Punk tonight.
It's either going to be Punk or Ric Flair coming out of the curtain. Daniel
really?
Bryan will probably be the next NXT or AEW pay-per-view. I think he'll come out.
They tweeted that on top of those two names, there's going to be another one. Who do you think it will be? A lot of people say it's Braun Strowman, maybe.
I heard it's either Strowman, but I heard that WWE offered him another contract like they did with some of the girls that are coming back.
Okay, I got you. So that was just more of a cut the ties of what you have now, come back in a different contract.
Do
you think that's what's going to happen with The Fiend here?
Well, people don't understand.
Bray Wyatt.
The Fiend got cut more mentally than anything. He's going through some stuff.
Okay.
So he said he couldn't do it. He said he had some issues he wanted to take back. So they say, you know what, then we're going to probably cut you, get your stuff, and then I think he still comes back to WWE.
Okay. Hey, man, it's nice seeing you. I haven't seen you in like 2.5 months.
I'm sorry I had heart surgery. I'm sorry I had heart surgery. I'm sorry.
I know you had a heart. You had